naturally
trying to
play.
What side are you guys on?
We're Sith right now.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Take that, reset transmission, you giddy two-shoe Jedi.
Oh, they're all Jedi.
Really?
Screw that. All right, welcome to episode 60 of the Rated NA podcast for nerdappropriate.com. This is a very weird and special episode because, Scott, it's just you and me and two weirdos with us.
Yay!
we've replaced Ash and Hillary, respectively, with our old buddy Ryan and our new buddy Anna Schumann from Press to Reset.
Hooray!
How's it going?
I'm more sexy as Ash.
That's what I was going to say. I want you to be Ash and Ryan will be Hillary, right?
Okay. Yeah, right. I like it.
So you have exactly 2 minutes to drop a penis reference before you are no longer pulling off what Ash normally does in the podcast.
He made it like one or two ago. He made
giant?
It like an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow, you just cut
go
right
straight
to the
for
chase
the big
there.
Guns. Come
yeah.
on, you know.
Yeah. All right.
So how you guys doing?
I'm doing fabulous. It's pretty early here, but I'm house sitting, and the dogs I'm house sitting for woke me up at 6:30 this morning, so I've been awake
oh my God.
For 3 hours. Yeah, they're so, bad dogs.
You're a West Coaster, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast and your site?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I podcast for Reset Transmission, which is the podcast on PressToReset.com. We do reviews, we do interviews, we do news. We do basically everything that Nerd Appropriate does. Yeah, we're pretty similar.
We're kindred spirits is what we like
exactly.
to
say. Sister sort of like sites, if you will.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're doing sort of like a comic book crossover episode today where we sent Ash and Hillary over to Reset Transmission. Do you know when they're recording?
They are recording Monday night. Yes.
Excellent.
So 2 days from now.
Ash tried to make a guest appearance on this podcast at the beginning, and Scott and I said no.
Mm-hmm. Hooray!
Said, you are not allowed on this podcast this week.
Good job. Way to be strong.
We held strong. We held firm.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, what have you been doing for the past year?
For
not
the past
much.
Year?
I got an iPhone.
Sweet.
I did that. I went and saw the Avengers. That was pretty good.
Are you really going to run us through your past year?
I think it's just those two things. Well, I'm just trying to think of nerdy stuff. I don't do a lot of nerdy stuff, so.
Oh, okay.
No, not actually not a whole lot in the last year.
So for our new listeners, Ryan used to be a regular on the podcast maybe about a year ago. And back in when we were actually streaming our podcasts live as we recorded them, and he was our buddy Bo Balian in the chat.
And then Ash and him got a huge fight, and
yeah,
Ash wouldn't let him back on the podcast.
Oh, like a bad Jerry Springer episode, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that Ash isn't on this one and I am.
I could never tell if it was a real feud or a fictitious feud. Like you
I
were
can't either.
Like you're frenemies almost.
Mortal frenemies.
All right.
Let's do the rundown.
Right out of the
I hope this. I hope this is filled with awkward pauses the entire time we do this podcast. It's gonna.
You can edit those out though, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Hell no, leave them all in. I want the most awkward podcast we can possibly have.
At the end, give me a supercut of just the awkward pauses.
Just dead silence for 5 minutes.
I'll remember.
Through the magic of post, we will fix all of this.
So we are talking about the horrible news now of what happened at 38 Studios this past week. Some new Mass Effect news, of course, because why
of course.
Talk about Mass Effect? The White House has some technology updates. They did some stuff there. We are going to talk about motherfucking ALF, as I put it. A couple bits of Google news, and then another gigantic kind of bad bit of news about HP. Ryan and I played Max Payne 3, and then Scott, you've got a couple summer games you're going to talk about, and then our question of the week had to do with time travel. Gotta go back in time.
Nope.
I'm going to add another review right now.
Oh wow, that's daring.
Live, yeah. Live on the podcast.
Where were we? Okay, so Matt, what have you been up to this week? I don't think we've gotten to you.
I read Hunger Games.
Nope.
Which one?
The first one, yeah.
And?
And I told Ryan that I guess that I liked it, which I guess that means I have a vagina, right? Is that how?
Is it awesome?
No.
Not. Did you pre-order the new upcoming Twilight already?
I did.
Ugh,
no,
Twilight.
I did not. It's really good. The way I put it was like it's like a really good popcorn movie. You know, it's just fun. It's not necessarily the deepest literature I've ever read in my life, but it's a fun book.
It's a fast read.
It is really fast. I read it in like a week and a half, I think. So, but I did that and then played some Max Payne. Moved my wife up here, so she lives in New York now with me, which is
That's so happy.
Yay!
Bummer.
I bought her from China and brought her all the way here. That's only a joke that Scott and Ryan get. That's unfortunate. She's half Chinese for everyone else, and she now lives here with me. And that's it. Yeah. Anybody else? What about you, Scott? What are you doing?
Well, like in the summer game pile, I've been playing this game called Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom. I checked out a game called Awesomenauts as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to catch up on some sci-fi books. So I read The Forever War, and I'm reading something called like Into the Black, The First Odyssey, I think is what it's called.
That reminds me, we're going to push it this week, but we started a Goodreads group. So we have a nerd-appropriate Goodreads group, so we can talk about kind of sci-fi and fantasy books, because we talk about them all the time anyways, so.
That sounds exciting. I want to be a part of this.
It will be fun. We'll do discussions and polls and, I don't know.
Will it be like the Finer Things book club from The Office? Is that what we're going for?
It will. We'll all have to dress dapper every time we want to talk about the books. So every time you go to make a post, you have to put like a bow tie on, and then you can make a post. No.
Yeah, sure.
Every joke's gonna fall flat this week. You're getting nothing.
You should have went for top hats. I would have.
I know, but I went
hats,
with bow,
tie. Bow ties.
I made a vagina joke. I'm getting nothing so far. I need a laugh track.
Oh, Scott, there's your next sound effect venture.
Certainly gonna do that. Anna, what have you been up to? I've heard you've been playing a lot of Diablo.
I have been playing a lot of Diablo, and it's super fun. It's my first Diablo in the Diablo series, and I like killing stuff a lot.
You've never played the previous? You did not play the previous games?
No, I did watch my brother when we were growing up. My brother played a lot of Diablo 2, so I'd always make him do the cow level because that was the funniest one. Willie, do the cow level. I want to watch you beat it again. And by the end, he's like, ugh, not the cow level again. So I watched him play it.
What made you get into this one then? Was it just like, did you have friends playing it or?
Friends and my husband. My husband loves Diablo, so he's like, you have to play it with me. And I'm like, okay, sure. It's a hack and slash. I like hack and slash.
So mm-hmm. Do you game with your husband?
No, good.
Sometimes. We play a lot of one-player games, but now he's like in hell mode, and I'm still stuck on normal mode, so. I don't want to play with anybody until like I finish the story because I'm very story oriented.
Yeah,
right on.
And yeah, so I love the Templar though; he's my favorite.
Awesome. I think Ash is playing Diablo, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he pick it up finally?
Maybe yes. I want to say yes.
Well, let's talk about Diablo a little more in the reviews, if that's okay, Anna.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Awesome.
Cool, let's do that. It will be added.
I've also just finished The Dream Machine, which is a point-and-click adventure from Sweden, so that's pretty cool, too.
Really?
It's done all in claymation and, like, cardboard is the style, and it's so cool. Super eerie.
What?
Well, we will currently add that to the review list, too, then.
Excellent.
Yeah. We're planning the podcast on the podcast.
I don't know
again.
What you're talking
about. I love this.
Talked about ahead of time.
Fantastic.
Well, let's move on along then and get into the news.
We don't get to hear what Ryan's been playing.
No one cares what Ryan's been playing.
Oh, okay.
Look at
sports
that.
Video games.
Sports.
You've been playing Max Payne 3 and Tiger Woods.
Can we talk about that for a second, Ryan? You are the least athletic person I know, and honestly, never played any sports. Right, growing up.
Soccer.
You did play soccer. Was that like the little kid soccer though, where everybody runs towards the
little
bowl?
Kid soccer. I was in middle school band. Some might consider that a sport.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. And then now all I ever see you play is Tiger Woods, Madden Football.
Yep.
NBA 2K11, right?
MLB. The sport I hate the most.
Yeah, you're playing a baseball game.
Yep.
Whenever you sign on online, it always says Ryan wants to play Blitz. Like, you haven't even changed that off your profile yet.
I did. I set a beacon.
Yeah, you did.
You set a beacon for NFL Blitz.
So what, oh my goodness. What is this? What is this 180 you've done where you play nothing but sports games?
I love one-on-one games, and the sports games lend well to that. So that's really fun. It's just a, you know, quick, short, immediate burst of little competition. And the 2K sports guys just make fantastic video games. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of those two things. I don't know, man.
Huh.
You should get into Street Fighter.
I do like Street Fighter.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you had, you had Capcom,
I'm limited to what my roommate will play.
Yeah, yeah. Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
Nothing but the Oakland Raiders?
Yep.
Oakland Raiders versus Green Bay Packers all the time.
Every day of the week.
I think the last sports game I played was NBA Jam for the Genesis.
Sweet.
Tournament edition.
Good one to go out on.
That is a good one to go out on.
Definitely.
Hard to top.
Controller walk away.
The new one was pretty bad. It was not very good at all.
Yeah, I thought it was just the same as the original.
It didn't.
That's what they tried to do.
Yeah. I don't like it.
But it lacked that magic that the old one had.
So, what?
Well, actually, the old one wouldn't have had the magic. The new one did.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I'm surprised they actually get that.
Yeah.
Wait, how does that get a laugh? I was throwing Compact Gold down earlier, and no magic on the NBA Jam gets a laugh?
Get a laugh on the sports jokes.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe this episode today of the podcast can get listed in sports now, too.
Sweet. We'll do really well in that section.
News.
So 38 Studios, some horrible, horrible, horrible news happened to them. It was yesterday, right, when they officially shuttered, or was it 2 days ago when they just kind of announced all of a sudden in the morning?
I think it was
2 days ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So 38 Studios, first thing that happened was they were having some weird tax things, and then all of a sudden their employees didn't get paid, right? Like, no one got a paycheck 1 week?
I think they defaulted on a loan payment to the state of Rhode Island as well.
Okay, and then just shut the doors. Thursday. Just done. 238 employees, something like that, completely fired in just a split second.
Yeah, while almost simultaneously saying that nobody was being laid off, and then people were being laid off.
Yeah, because I saw a video, I think Joystick posted a video of the mayor, right, saying like, everything's great, don't worry about it, we're going to work all this out. And then while they were doing that, they were currently shutting down the business and moving everybody out.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. It seems like this game did okay. They sold something like 1.4 or 1.2 million copies.
And the game is Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yeah, Kingdoms of Amalur. Right. And then the Rikokkaning for...
Rikokkaning.
If you're listening to Reset Transmission. But so I think they sold like 1.2 million copies. I think they needed to sell 3 million just to break even.
Yeah.
I guess part of the problem is that they reinvested that money into an MMO they were working on and then basically just shut the doors and sent everybody home, which is really sad.
But they weren't the publishers of the game, right?
EA published the game and 38 Studios was the developer.
I thought the publisher usually was the one holding the risk.
Well, I mean, this was a studio like, you know, that was started by Kurt Schilling, the baseball dude.
Yeah.
And then I guess sports, here we go.
Sports talk.
And then they took some money from the state of Rhode Island. They took a loan, and I guess they had two studios, one in Rhode Island and one somewhere else, and then it just fell apart.
That just seems, it's just crazy to think that a studio opens and banks everything on a single game, and then when that game doesn't hit, it's basically gone.
Nearly 400 employees as well.
Right.
Yeah, and I heard that a lot of the money that they had borrowed was going into their MMO that they plan to release next June. So I think that also had a big to-do about it. It's so sad. And they like are losing their houses and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. The one kind of bit of amazing news that I saw come out of this was that the industry definitely kind of rallied and everybody was posting jobs that were available. Mm-hmm. They had the hashtag 38 jobs, I think was what it was called. And and everybody just started posting things up about like, hey, you can come over here. This studio's hiring. This studio's hiring. You know, I saw Harmonix posted stuff right away and that's just, it's craziness. I don't know. It's insane to think that they were that big with that much risk on the table to where it's just gone.
And some pretty huge names behind the title as well. And, you know, Todd McFarlane and everything.
I bet Salvatore. Those guys still got paid.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Yeah. But I mean, it's just sort of like, it's a poor reflection, I feel like, on the games industry, where, you know, you need to invest so much money to make a title, and then if this one title doesn't make it, like, that's the end of the road, you know?
Yeah, you're just done.
And that's really sad, and I guess there's something to be said. I mean, it's not like, I guess you could sort of say this was sort of an indie studio, but there really is something to be said for supporting, like, independent studios, like one-off, you know, one-off kind of games and things like that, too. And I think we're seeing some of that reflected in things like Kickstarter, but I think, I mean, this is sort of like a lesson learned that also applies to games like this as well, that nobody is really safe from, you know, from this kind of situation happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of just get all the sad news over with in one shot, the same day that 38 Studios did this, HP announced that they're firing 27,000 employees.
Oh my gosh.
And, do you know what division that's from, or what, like, or is it at all levels, or?
I don't think there was any, like, division. I think it's just across the board. They're firing 27,000 employees. It represents something like 10% of their total employment. And then they said that they're trying to cut $3.5 billion out. Otherwise, they're in the hurting for quite a bit.
And I think they're like one of the top two PC manufacturers in the United States.
I believe they're
the
number
world.
One. And then Dell right after them.
Dell number two, right?
It's just insane. I thought we were out of this, you know, like kind of broke out of these this kind of news, and it just seems like company after company this is happening.
It's been a sad couple months. There was Sony and so much sad news in the industry right now.
And all tech related too, which is kind of scary. I don't know.
Yeah, tech is supposed to be like sort of the cutting edge and like a few forecasts of where jobs are going and stuff like that, but
yeah.
So how about we talk about Mass Effect?
Yeah, let's get out of this. Let's
happy news, finally.
This wouldn't be an episode of Rated NA without some Mass Effect news. So I'm going to do a quick blitz of all the things that's happening in the world of Mass Effect. So first of all, Mass Effect Infiltrator, the mobile game, is now available on Android.
Really?
Matt, you going to pick it up?
Yeah, 6 months after I'm done with the game, I'm going to go pick up the game that was supposed to be out on release. It's just ridiculous. How is it so far behind?
I've never even heard of this game. What is it about?
It's the iOS game. You were like a shooter, right?
Yeah, it's the game was made by the same studio that did the Dead Space game for iOS, which was like a really fantastic, like really sharp looking first person kind of, or third person kind of game. So the studio made a game called Mass Effect Infiltrator, which puts you in the shoes of a Cerberus.
Yeah, Cerberus agent.
Yeah, Cerberus agent who was infiltrating, I guess, a base that sort of went rogue to find out what happens. And it's like this whole separate narrative from the regular Mass Effect game, but it takes place in the Mass Effect universe and kind of, you know, has an interesting cover and shooting mechanic similar to the Dead Space games and Mass Effect. But it was really good and had a lot of polish.
I mean, I might play it just for the fact of playing it, but it just seems ridiculous that it is so far behind the iOS. I mean, the game launched in, what, March?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, yeah.
So it's 2.5 months after game launch, and they're releasing it now. It's just such an annoying little thing with Android. I don't know. But
yeah, and I mean,
it's still
$7,
too. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I know. I understand your pain. I used to be an Android guy. Those are the breaks, unfortunately. So in other Mass Effect news, I can't remember the name of the mission, but our Banshee community challenge from 2 weeks ago, where the goal was to kill 3 million Banshees, we actually failed this particular...
Isn't it the first failed mission?
It was the first failed mission.
Well, I mean, come on, 3 million Banshees?
That's a lot. That's really a lot.
That is a lot. Those bitches are tough.
Yeah,
they are.
They are tough.
It's kind of ridiculous. And I did learn that if you actually completed the squad goal of full extraction on gold, you would still get the pack for doing that, but you just wouldn't get the bonus for the community goal, which was not met. So sort of like in a bizarre response to this, this particular weekend's community challenge requires you to promote 3 characters, but now Banshees can spawn with any team that you fight against. So there, you could be fighting like an Atlas with a Banshee chasing you, or, you know, a Geth Prime shooting you while the Banshees
That seems like it's going to be the most destabilizing, like, unbalanced game ever created. There's just banshees popping up around other random teams.
It's kind of exciting because I feel like they're taking the wheels off of multiplayer a little bit, because I think people have settled into their ways and settled into the patterns of playing the game.
Well, even we were saying that playing silver didn't feel as challenging as it used to, and gold was still super hard, but it was only hard in the sense that, like, the fuckers wouldn't go down. Like, you had to unload in some of them to get them out.
Yeah. I feel like the NA squad is fairly proficient in accomplishing these missions. So it's kind of neat to see that they're starting to do some different things with the multiplayer, because, I mean, as great as it is, there definitely needs to be a little more variety introduced into the game. And that kind of takes us to our next bit of news, which is the Rebellion Pack, which is going to come out this Tuesday. Probably as you're listening to this podcast, it will be available. But what they did was, the bit of news that they included in the Banshee mission was the fact that they hinted at the fact that Vorcha were going to be coming to the game as playable multiplayer characters. So everybody was getting ready for Vorcha. Then they announced this Rebellion Pack. And in this Rebellion Pack, they actually announced that there's going to be ex-Cerberus operatives that you can play as. So it's kind of like a gotcha.
Oh, wow.
Where you were expecting one thing and got another. So the cool thing about the ex-Cerberus operatives is that they showed one of the multiplayer characters that had this ability called Lash, and it looked like they had like these electro whips, and it looks really neat. So along with that, they're introducing two new maps, and I think the maps are going to be similar to, I think they're going to be more challenging maps, the same way that the Turian planet, the moon base, is very challenging. Because I think they're kind of hip to the fact that people are doing like the Fort Kickass thing and Firebase White.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to make people move more instead of like trying to bunker down and take enemies out at a distance. So it's going to be more, I feel like it's going to be more like guerrilla style combat, which should add some variety to the game, which will be very exciting.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the Mass Effect.
I mean, are you guys bored at all with the multiplayer at this point? Are you still, I know Ryan, you're not playing it, but
it's like, Anna, you guys are talking a different language right now.
Anna, do you play a lot of the Mass Effect?
I try. If familiar listeners will know that I gave my Mass Effect 3 copy to my brother so he could play. So I currently have been away from the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer scene, but I love it a lot. It's a lot of fun, and I'm pretty addicted to it. I can't wait to get it back.
Yeah.
You got to get your game back. Yeah, for sure.
I know I do.
is he going through single player right now, or did he already?
Yeah, single player.
Did he manage to avoid all the spoilers at this point?
Yeah, he's pretty good at that. Good Even Lord. Though he's on the internet probably more than I am.
Well, yeah, I mean, because after the internet explosion, I think Matt almost lost his mind. With
I was
the,
going
all
crazy.
The spoilers.
I would like every time I open a web page, I'm like, "What the fuck?" It was like all over the place. All I would read is like Mass Effect, and I would immediately just close whatever tab I had opened.
Yeah, it's like when the last Harry Potter came out. It's like Dumbledore spoiler. Oh, that was terrible.
Well, you're a good sister for letting your brother borrow the game.
Yeah,
I try.
Yeah.
But you need to get it back.
I'm gonna be a bad sister now. Yeah, I need to demand my game back.
It's
I'm very
fine.
Interested about the fan fiction that's going to come out with the Banshees now, with the among everybody else. Geth Prime and Banshee meet in a bar.
Next.
I should probably pick up Mass Effect 1 about now, right?
Yeah. You're right on target.
That's my speed.
Mass Effect 1 up right now. Are you done with Assassin's Creed 2 yet, or did you not get through that one?
Yes, I finished those. Okay. I didn't 100% Assassin's Creed 2. I became a bit obsessed with finding all the feathers, and I just kind of gave up after a little while because there's no map in 2.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
So Scott, what happened at the White House?
Oh, it's just a quick piece of interesting technology news, and that was that President Obama wants to have all of the federal agency websites optimized for smartphones and tablets, which I thought was kind of neat.
That's cool.
I kind of like this idea of the president embracing technology in the way that like people of our generation consume media. You know, like a lot of people browse the internet on their phones or don't even like bother to look at their laptops, you know?
Yeah.
I know that my wife will be like sitting at a table with like her laptop open, and then she'll be like, "Oh, let me look that up," and then she'll pull her phone out and then start looking at them. Like, "Your laptop is right there." And she's, "Oh, no, I got it. It's just right here on my phone." So
yeah,
I think it's just kind of like a cool bit of news, sort of like a way to reach out to a younger generation that doesn't always like go out to vote and stuff like that. So I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I go to the White House website on my phone all the time, so that's awesome.
Whitehouse.com or Whitehouse.gov?
Whitehouse.gov.
Oh, okay.
Because
those are two totally
Is that still do they still have that .com?
I'm afraid to look.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's just it's a empty domain now.
Oh, okay. You checked.
Yeah, I checked in incognito, so it's okay.
I remember that.
Good. Don't worry.
We discovered that in middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just another two quick bit of technology news is the Google Motorola deal is official now. So Google officially owns Motorola in whole. I don't know what that is going to mean, whether all Google phones are going to be Motorola phones or who knows. I know my Motorola phone's a piece of shit, so I hope that doesn't happen. But then the other thing is we didn't really talk too much about this because it's frankly just confusing how it works, but Oracle had sued Google over Android and their use of Java, which is a programming language. And it had been going on for, 3 to 4 weeks, and they were trying to figure out whether Google had infringed on any of Oracle's patents for this language and whether they owed them. And essentially, they could have feasibly owed them for every installation of Android that's out there, which is an insane number for them to have to pay up, a certain percentage fee on. And then it came back this week that Google won and Oracle lost. They're not going to get a penny, essentially. They completely lost entirely the entire patent case. So,
hooray. Who are we voting for?
I think this is good because patent law is getting crazy and people are patenting software at this point, and they're patenting things that are this matchbook, I'm going to patent how you open it, and it's all mm-hmm. of a sudden patents are just all over the place and no one can get any kind of real innovation out because you have to pay 15 different patent laws inside of, whatever you're trying to make. So I think it's good that we see somebody do something innovative with a product that technically they didn't really steal at the end of the day, and Oracle kind of loses this patent case. So I think it's a good thing ultimately, but we'll see.
And it's funny that these companies battle on one front and then they do business on another, then in this other arena, they battle about something else and it seems completely pointless. It's almost trying to keep all the giant companies in check, even though they all use each other's patents in some way.
Well, I mean, what it was is that patent law came about so that you as a small person could come up with an idea and then some large company couldn't just roll in, take your idea, make $1 billion off of it without paying you in some way. And then some lawyer somewhere realized, well, hey, if we just buy a bunch of patents, we can just sit on them and get paid for doing essentially nothing. So then companies started just upping their portfolio of patents so that they could just sue people anytime something new got made. And it became a source of revenue with very little actual work put into it. So it's just a really fucked up arena and it needs to get fixed. But, I guess all in due time. But things like this where you see a company win out are good, I think, in the long run.
I think the moral of the story is don't be lame, and technology innovation is awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So on to the best news of all. The owner of ALF has come out as saying that he has approached Hollywood about doing an ALF movie based on the 80s yes. TV show of our friend the alien, the cat-eating alien life form known as ALF.
That is Michael made me sad that he ate cats.
Gordon Shumway.
Was that his real name? Did you look it up?
Yes. I looked it up in my brain.
Is Michael Bay going to make this movie also?
Oh, I can only hope.
Let's hope so. If there's one property from our childhood that Michael Bay should redo, it's ALF. He crashes into the house and the house explodes and girls with bikinis on run out of it.
So who would play the dad?
You'd probably see ALF's testicles. Transformers 2. Anybody seen Transformers 2?
Yes, we understand.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so. But my important.
We don't do much reading.
My important question is, who's going to play the dad?
I say the chief from SVU because I thought I swear to God, I thought that guy was the dad from ALF. Like the first 6 or 7 episodes I ever saw of SVU, I was like, that's crazy, the guy from ALF. Or they should get the original dad.
Is he still alive?
Who's busy smoking crack and hiring prostitutes?
Is that what he's doing now?
There was some an Inquirer thing about the original dad, like pictures of him with some prostitute and smoking crack.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
So
why do I know so much about ALF?
I don't know. You do know.
Yeah. It's interesting. You're a well of knowledge right now, yeah. Ryan.
So what?
What else can you tell us about ALF?
Well, let's see. That's it.
So were you guys fans growing up? We all watched ALF, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I had an ALF, a stuffed ALF that I carried around when I was little, I guess. I don't know.
Do you still have it?
No.
I'm sure it's worth money.
I mean, if I doubt it. My mom throws everything away, so I'm sure that one.
Yeah, who keeps all their stuffed animals?
I don't know, Ryan. Who keeps all their stuffed animals?
I don't know. I'm just looking at behind Scott on the shelf of the stuffed animals.
These are action figures.
There is a difference.
They're not dolls.
Oh, man. So let's hope for Alf. I want this to happen. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
I'm worried, though. Did anyone watch the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie? Those look terrible. I don't want them to do something like that.
Oh, would it be a CG Alf or a puppet Alf?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
That's true.
Oh, no.
It's got to be
like Garfield.
Right?
It'd be like Garfield the Cat. It would be only popular in the UK.
Oh, that's
except if they ruin it. What if they ruin the puppet like in the first new Star Wars where it was the horrible puppet Yoda?
But, yeah. But, I mean, I feel like he was already a puppet and those other things were already cartoons previously.
Yeah,
I feel like the owner of the property would probably want it to be a puppet because that's what he did. Didn't he do the puppeting
work?
He was the voice too, I think, and the puppeteer.
Was he the voice also?
I could be wrong about that. I think he was.
Yeah, he might. I mean, it's likely.
I think you're safe then. I think your dream of an Alf movie is going to be okay.
Or if like Slash Film says, what if it gets the battleship treatment and like all of a sudden Alf is attacking from Mars or something and...
Still see it. Still see it.
Still totally worth it.
I actually heard that was an okay movie as a popcorn movie, believe it or not.
Really?
That's what I heard. I don't know.
I loved watching the preview for that because I was like, what is this movie? You know, first it's like a love movie, and then there's action and aliens, and then it's a battleship. It's like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
And Rihanna's in it.
The aliens fire pegs.
Yeah.
They do.
Do they really?
Yeah, one of the alien ships fires pegs that then, like, land on the ship and explode or something like that. Like, how are we going to tie this into the board game we named it after? Somehow.
They re-released the board game, so now it's aliens versus humans in the board.
Are you fucking serious?
Really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Yeah.
God.
They put a new one out. It's all electronic, so it, like, talks, and one side talks in, like, a human English voice, and the other one talks in, like, an alien voice, and it's aliens versus humans.
Why do you talk? It's just two kids sitting in silence across from each other.
They had a talking battleship.
Other side.
Yeah, yeah. It's the talking battleship, but it's aliens versus humans now.
I'm excited for the Candyland movie, honestly.
Is that a real thing?
No, I have no idea. I would probably see it, though.
This is another thing that I could be wrong about, which I have plenty, but okay, I'm going to double check this, but I think Adam Sandler's involved with a Candyland movie.
No.
Okay.
Yep.
That's like a South Park joke.
Adam Sandler visiting Candyland for Columbia Pictures.
What?
From the beginning.
Is he like the gumdrop prince or something?
Yep.
All that makes so that it makes me think of the South Park joke where it's like the Adam Sandler movie and they're just all shitting all over each other the entire time.
I feel like Candyland, if it was going to be a movie, should be made by, like, Tim Burton and have Johnny Depp in it, right?
Oh, yeah. That would be hot.
About Chutes and Ladders. It could be, like, a Cube-type movie where you just keep getting, you know, people get murdered on ladders and chutes while they're going up and down the board.
Like a sci-fi thriller?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to hire us.
I know. Yeah. We're just giving these ideas away right now.
I saw the best take from the battleship. It was Hungry Hungry Hippos, and this is giant hippo coming out of the water. That would be awesome too.
That would be awesome.
I'd be okay with that.
I'm gonna find that right now. Hang on just a second. This is gonna make for a riveting audio, me looking for a picture on the internet.
Well, we'll go to the next thing is the DLC for Arkham City is finally coming out, this new refresh.
Yeah, I believe it comes out on Tuesday.
You excited, Ryan? Did you beat it?
Yeah, I beat it. I have a ton of side missions to go back and do. I just kind of put my head down and decided to just play through and beat it. But the DLC comes out on Tuesday. Basically, Harley Quinn is a main character, and she sets up Batman somehow in some trap and kidnaps him, kind of, and he disappears, and they send in Robin, I believe, to go rescue him.
Is it or is this the Nightwing or Robin?
I don't know the difference. I think
you don't know the difference. Get out!
I think this is.
I don't really deserve to be on this podcast.
I think this is actual Catwoman DLC, Matt.
Oh, is it?
Like, yeah, it's like a third piece of DLC or fourth piece or whatever they're on.
So this is in your summer play, right, Scott?
This is on my summer game pile. I haven't started playing it yet, though.
And Anna, did you play the Batman game?
No, unfortunately, it's on my list of games I need to play eventually.
Awesome. It is.
It was fantastic.
It is my favorite game of 2011. It was fantastic.
From the looks of it, like, not to go off on a tangent, but the new Spider-Man game for the movie looks like it might be as good as that.
Activision
like
game, yeah. It looks
Oh wow.
Yeah. It looks like it's got a really similar mechanic to the to running around as Catwoman, where it just kind of jumps for you and you just kind of keep pressing a button.
The only problem is that I think Activision's been behind every Spider-Man game that's come out, and they've all been kind of mediocre. So
yeah, they've all looked cool, but yeah. Like, you know, somebody figured out how to do it with I haven't played Arkham Asylum, but Arkham City was fantastic.
Yeah.
So even if they completely rip it off and make a cool game, you know, I wouldn't be too mad.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll do some reviews. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We're back, and you guys just heard the theme song to the game Awesome Knots, which is available on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. This song is pretty awesome. Yeah, it's got like a 80s inspired Saturday morning cartoon kind of vibe going on.
Sure does.
Yeah, it's pretty rocking. And just want to talk about the game Awesome Knots for a couple minutes. So like I said, I think right now, for a limited time, if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you can download this game for free, if I'm not mistaken. And it's available on Xbox Live. I don't remember how much it costs. But the game is sort of like a... what's the best way to describe it? It's like 4-on-4, I think, in a environment that's like a Super Smash Brothers kind of environment.
Okay.
Oh,
but what you're trying to do, though, is that you're trying to defend your base and attack the other team's base. So like there's like this big like some kind of generator or power station that you need to get to, and your teams collide sort of in the middle of the map and do battle with like weapons and swords and special abilities and stuff like that. So the
so is
awesome
it like
knot,
a MOBA game?
Like what's
a,
like
a Dota?
I haven't played Dota, I'm not familiar. It's like
power
a side
defense.
Scroller. Yeah, it's like a side scroller though, but there's nothing to deploy. In the sense that, like, you're the upgrades that you get are for your characters, so that's how it's kind of like Smash Brothers.
Is it class based? Like, is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh. It's class based. So there's like, I think there's 7 or 8 different characters that you can use in the game. All the characters have different abilities. I believe that there are sort of 2 upgrade systems that run through the game. So there's upgrading you do inside of a match where, as you continue to battle, like these battles usually unfold for like 10 to 20 minutes. So as you collect currency in the battles, you can upgrade abilities for your characters like in the battle to become more powerful. And then I think there's sort of like a meta system that tracks your own personal level over time to unlock additional characters and extra like power-ups and stuff like that.
That's cool.
So it's a really fun game. It's like super casual. It's like a side scroller. Definitely like has some throwback elements to older games like almost like a Contra vibe of like side scrolling and jumping and shooting and stuff like that. It doesn't really have like the complexity of a game like Super Smash Brothers, where there's like, you know, like nano blocking and stuff like that, and like rolling, like timed rolling, all kinds of weird shit that happens in this game. It's like super casual. Definitely a game like for friends just to like chill and play.
Are there different mission types, or is it always kind of capture the base?
Well, I've only had an opportunity to play a couple of times, and I've only seen 1 or 2 maps, and both of the maps were like capture the enemy bases. And the only thing that I've seen in terms of the variation between the two maps was one map had environmental hazards, like neutral enemies that were in the middle of the map that would just kind of like screw things up for both teams.
Okay. That's cool.
But it's super fun, like really casual game. I would recommend it if you have a bunch of friends over and you just want to kind of brawl it up. And this, you know, like if you're a Smash Brothers fan, this is worth checking out, and you can play it online as well or local.
What if you're a competitive Smash Brothers fan?
If you're competitive, I don't think this game is as competitive as Smash Brothers. So, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you need to take a break from like the high stress world of SSB, this would be maybe like an alternative to that.
Is that what they call it in the NP, Nintendo Power, SSB?
In the circles, yeah, in the old. Nintendo Power magazines. You have power. Now you're playing with power, Nintendo Power.
Oh boy. Cool.
Yeah.
So it's out. That's out though now, right? I think it came out last week or a week ago, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Diablo 3 is super fun. That's the bottom line. I know it had a lot of problems with it coming out. A lot of problems.
Did you start charting your error numbers that you were getting or no?
No, it was terrible. So the first night I went to the midnight release in where I'm from, which is Reno, Nevada. And there were tons of people. I got it. I went home. I installed the game. And then I went to bed because I was like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. Because if I start playing, I'm not going to get any sleep.
Right.
So then I came home the next day and I was super excited to play. And then I tried to log in and the errors began. And I was terrible because, you know, it's a long day at work, 10-hour day. I was ready to come home and chill and play video games. And I, like, wanted to cry. I was just so upset.
Yeah.
And then I didn't play for 2 days because I was recovering from my depression about the album. But then I started playing it, and it's super fun. And
so, so you watched a lot of Diablo 2. I mean, I know the graphics look incredible in 3, but is the gameplay essentially the same? I mean, it's just hack and slash, right?
Yeah, it's just hack and slash. I mean, like I said, I haven't played any of the other ones, but from what I've seen, it looks pretty similar. That's with a new story, and like I'm really in love with all the characters that they've had so far. And I can only imagine for those people that have been following the series for 10 years. When they're playing, like, it gets really emotional, and I'm like, I'm really involved with these characters, and I
really
just met them.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have, like, are they voiced characters?
Yeah, they have full voice.
Like, are there, like, cutscenes where they're like, talking things over? Because I don't remember that being in the second game.
Yeah, or the first.
There's cutscenes at, like, the end of the acts, so there's 4 acts, and I think there was that many in the previous Diablos as well, and at the end, in the beginning, there's a little, like, cutscene that's really cool, and you get to watch that, and yeah, a lot of it is voiced, and
wow,
some of it is hard.
So were you? I guess the answer is yes, but I mean, like, part of my hangup with trying to play a Blizzard game is sort of like this whole thing with getting the tentacles into the DRM, and like now they have this like real cash auction house, which is kind of like a turnoff for me. Like, how
it's
do you?
It's gonna be terrible.
Like, what is that all about exactly? What is the real cash auction house? I'm assuming it uses real cash.
Well, I think what they're going to do is you pay a certain amount of money to Blizzard, and then they give you, like, Blizzard points. So it's not, like, real money transaction. It's, like, a points or a fake gold transaction. And then Blizzard is going to take a hit from that, a, like, 15% cut. You have to put a couple dollars worth or however many points it equates to put the item up for auction. And then, since it goes through PayPal takes a cut, too. So it's going to be absolutely ridiculous, and I don't know how they're going to keep the economy going. I don't, like...
I
don't know.
We've all talked about here, like, on our podcast about... We've kind of fallen out of love with Blizzard. Like, we aren't really super happy with everything that's been going on, especially with this kind of, like, the DRM and these cash marketplaces. And then on top of that, just the way they deal with their community is basically just through not dealing with their community.
See, I've never been much of a Blizzard fan until like this game, so I don't have that much knowledge about previous Blizzard activities.
Well, it's that old style of like, you know, like the Glass Palace, like off in the distance that you have no access to whatsoever. Like, where if you compare it to BioWare or Harmonix or one of the bigger companies now, they're very interactive with their community. They talk, they get, you know, feedback back and forth. And Blizzard is very much like when the errors were going on, it was just like, yep, there's errors, deal with it. And you're like, what? Like, your game is broken. I can't play it. And they're like, we're working on it. Don't worry about it. And then that was like all that really seemed like really happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of like a track record thing, like you said, where it's like, okay, we're going to release StarCraft 2 in 3 parts, and each part could potentially cost $100, you know? And then we're going to have this always-on DRM in Diablo 3 with, like, a real, like, now Diablo 3 is almost, like, pay to win if, like, that's your thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, I don't know, it's not, like, something that I'm necessarily interested in, but I guess if you feel like you're able to, like, you've been able to play the single-player game sort of and kind of avoided this other, like, all these, like, meta things that are happening in the game, right?
Definitely. I try not to get into the politics of Blizzard and all that, but overall, like, it's a fun game.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Blizzard that much. I've been having a lot of fun, and it's pretty damn addicting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, maybe that's the frustrating thing, is that, A, they make good games, but, B, they're hard to, you know, interact with, I suppose. You know what I mean?
I can sort definitely like, see where that frustration would come into. Especially the longtime fans. I mean, there's
exactly.
some fans out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of weird because there are games like Torchlight now. Have you played Torchlight at all?
No, but I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, I mean, so like there are now games that are similar to Diablo. So I feel like while there will always be a hardcore base of Diablo fans, there's, you know, another set of fans, maybe like I'm one of these people where it's like, oh, well, I can go play Torchlight. And I'm happy with that. And I'll look forward to Torchlight 2 instead mm-hmm. of, you know, getting tangled up in this whole Diablo 3 kind of thing.
Definitely. And I,
because it's pretty much the same game. I mean, I'm sure there are some glaring like differences, but.
Mm-hmm. I've heard there's a lot more class and skills you can do in Torchlight, which seems pretty fun too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that system also like uses like the legacy system. Like if you reuse characters or start a lineage of characters, you can share items between them and stuff like that. Do you know if you can do stuff like that in this one? Is there like a
way to share? Yeah, definitely. There's you a little like items? A chest. So you can share items that you find like with one character. You just store it in your chest. And the chest is basically used for all your characters. So if my barbarian finds a neat ass bow and I want to give it to my demon hunter, I just store it in my chest, log into my demon hunter, and then she can go to the chest and get it.
That is awesome.
So so even with all the errors and everything, you think, I mean, it's stable now, right? No one's having this error issue anymore, correct?
So far it's stable. There is some lag issue depending on where you're from and what server you're playing on. Every once in a while, I'll get a lag hiccup, and that's the most irritating part, I think, about the whole game.
Really?
It's because all of a sudden I'll be walking, and then you're stuck in that, like, time frame rate, and then I go back and keep walking that same path.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is so irritating, and I don't like especially, that. But especially when that doesn't happen.
Especially for a high action game, it seems like that could be obnoxious.
Definitely. It's killed me a couple of times, actually. Yeah.
Did I hear you guys correctly on your podcast where you said that this game, even if you play as single player, you're still basically in the multiplayer world, right?
Right. It's you have to be online to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So and people can randomly join your party too if you're like if you've got friends. And that happened to me a couple times. Like I was going through with my barbarian and someone just jumped into my party. I was like, get out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to play my game.
Can you not make the games private?
You can. But I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. So you can't play at all offline, like if you had no internet?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. Yeah, and that's a lot of complaint from, I know, one of our writers, Sean. He's got bad internet, so he's boycotting it because of the DRM stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's such a weird, it's like so illogical to me, but I guess companies see a return on it, and if it works for them, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough call because the game is good enough that they can demand something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So it's still a buy for you. It's totally worth
still
it.
Still definitely. And if you're at all on the fence, I do have some guest passes.
Whoa.
So I'd be willing to share those with three other people because that's how many I have.
Awesome. Not just some random that we pulled up. three. I'll do three and that's it.
There's three other people right here.
Well, good. You guys want some guest passes?
I'm right.
Well, actually, I promised one to Melissa, so you guys have to fight over two.
It'd be Ash probably if it was anyone on this podcast, and he I think he's already bought the game. So
I can say that just from listening to your podcast, if there's something I need to get back into, it's probably SWTOR.
Yeah, I still have to get.
I have to get back into SWTOR. I'm still paying for SWTOR. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
So am I.
Are you?
Canceled.
I haven't either. Oh, it's just like every once in a while on the 12th, I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden I'll get an email, and I'm like, what? I look, and then I'm like, oh god damn it, I'm still paying for SWTOR.
I know. I haven't played in like months. I'm still paying. I'm the worst gamer ever.
I haven't either.
I feel like everybody played the first month it came out, and then Mass Effect 3 came out, and then it was over, and like that was
That's
it.
Exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I heard that in the most recent update, or the one that is coming, there's going to be a mechanism for people to move between servers.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah. That'll be good.
So if we all actually do this mythical thing where we all get back on and start playing SWTOR, we can combine our guilds or join our forces or something
together.
Like this. Actually
Which side
try to
are you guys on?
We're Sith right now.
Woohoo! Yeah! Take that, Reset Transmission, you giddy two-shoe Jedi.
Oh, they're all Jedi.
Oh, really?
Oh, screw them. Sit.
Nope.
Sit all the way.
If you guys get back on and start playing, I'll pick it up.
You will not.
Excellent.
Liar.
We're getting
I have to drop my guild name, though, for SWTOR, because it's amazing. It's called Chocolate Chip Wookiees.
Nice.
So moving on, Ash. You're not Ash. Who are you? Ryan and I.
What? No.
Yeah, I did call you Ash.
I thought Ryan was Hillary.
Yeah, Ryan's Hillary. Damn it.
So I'm Ash.
You're
Ash.
Yeah, Anna.
That's okay. Ash is could be a girl's name too, so it's okay.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Nobody's ever brought that up.
Nobody's ever said that to him. That joke.
Oh boy.
Ryan longer than I, because I was moving my wife up here, but I played this week, have picked up Max Payne 3 and have been playing. Ryan is a bit further than I am, closer to the end. But
yeah, about two-thirds through.
But I wanted to get some playing time in so that we could actually have a discussion about this game, because I think you love it, and I actually don't totally love it. So let's talk.
I guess as a quick review, I'm going to put a fuller review up today or tomorrow onto the site, but it's not an open-world game. Get it out of the way, I haven't played 1 or 2, so I don't know how it compares to the others or whatever. It's very story-driven, linear game. I equate it to, it's like a big-budget 80s action movie where you play the action sequences.
Yeah.
There's a simple, linear plot, like you're a guy working security detail at the beginning. The guy you're doing security for, his wife is kidnapped, and you gotta go rescue her. Like, that's basically it. Find the girl. And it's 2 discs, and I got through the first disc very quickly. They put a lot of cutscenes into the game, so there's 5-6 minute cutscenes in between all of the action sequences. I like it because it was oddly a nice change of pace from playing like big open world things where I sometimes get lost.
Yeah.
This was just. All the game is run forward and shoot the guys in front of you.
So first of all, we should say the shooting mechanic is gorgeous. It works. It works really well.
Looks gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. It works really well. Looks gorgeous. All the movement, as we saw at PAX, is just unbelievable to watch this guy. Like when he jumps through the air and covers his head as he's falling. And there's a cat butt in the scene there.
It's the strangest thing that I ever read on like a PR. Like list of features, and one of the features was shoot in any direction while laying prone.
See,
on the ground.
I haven't done that yet. Yeah. Yeah, I know you can, but I haven't really been prone on the ground too often.
But that's just really weird thing to put on the box.
Yeah.
You know? Like
you end up falling down when you're like one bullet away from dying. You get into this thing where they it like slows down. It's almost like the bullet time thing. It slows down, and you have to shoot the guy that's about to kill you. Last or shoot him before he gets you, and then you come out of that and you're
yeah, if
on the
you
ground.
Have so like there's a health mechanic with pain pills that you take to restore health, and like if you have pain pills left and you're about to die, you go into that weird sequence where you have to shoot the guy and then you come back. But my issue with it is I guess it's kind of the linearity of it, because I'm really not enjoying only doing the shooting scenes. I feel like I'm not playing. Like I just like he wasn't joking. You will watch a 10-minute cutscene, and then it cuts in and you're shooting somebody immediately. Like you're automatically firing your gun, and then you'll kill 10 guys, and then you'll run to the next room, kill 10 more guys, and then you're back in a cutscene, and then you're watching it, like
it's like playing Halo but with longer cutscenes and a story that I can figure out. I mean it's a shooter. That's all it is. Like it's a first person shooter, which I always bitch about, but it's a really good looking, well playing.
I just find, I don't know if it's because I came out of, you know, Mass Effect and stuff like that. I'm getting bored. Like the story is not all that interesting unless I just haven't hit anything yet. It's just kind of like, you know, your Max is just kind of a washed up cop at this point who's just doing security detail. There's not really a lot else going on. And to just watch that cutscene and then fire your gun, then watch a cutscene and then fire your gun. I guess if you think about it in comparison to like a Halo, I would agree. Then it's really good. When I think about it in comparison to, you know, any of the other Rockstar games or Mass Effect or anything like that, and I guess those are open world, so it's not really a comparison. It feels. I don't know. I'm just not enjoying it as much. Like I enjoy the game mechanics. I'm enjoying shooting. I'm not enjoying playing overall.
I think you were going in expecting, I mean, I was a little bit too, just from, you know, Rockstar's recent history of making these awesome open world games. I mean, even even L.A. Noir was kind of open world to an extent, but like if you have that mindset about it being a Rockstar game that's going to be like that going into it, I can see it maybe being disappointing. I'm having fun with it.
You are.
Like, I didn't know what to expect. I never played any of the other Max Paynes. It's just mindless. I can sit down after work and just run forward and shoot guys and watch their faces explode in slow motion.
Yes, that is kind of ridiculous. They do. We saw this at PAX where your final shot on the last guy, you can hit the A button and it zooms in on that last guy, and then you can keep pulling the trigger, and you basically just blow this guy away, and it's like all slow motion, like just horrible murder going on.
It sounds like a Tarantino movie.
Oh, it is. Yeah. You know, it is.
That's why I equated it to like an 80s action movie, like an over-the-top 80s action movie. Like, it reminds me of Drive a little bit, which was like a modern take on an 80s action movie. It's not as slick as Drive by any means, completely different setting or whatever, but it's like very realistic, very gritty.
It's a Reservoir Dogs, I'd agree, yeah.
I mean, there's a scene, like, I was in a graveyard, my friend was about to get executed, and I dive in slow motion and shoot a guy in the mouth, and his mouth explodes, like, whatever, nice. It's dumb shooter fun.
I wish the linearity, the story part, had more, like, intrigue. Like, I wish that it had more to it early on that would, like, grab me and want me to get through those, you know, action scenes, because otherwise I just feel like, how many times can I come close to catching the girl?
Oh yeah, the parts that you're talking about that you dislike, I kind of like. It was refreshing because like I get wrapped up in games like Assassin's Creed, Red Dead Redemption, Halo, and I just don't know what the fuck is going on by like 6 hours in. I don't know. I know in this game, I know I'm trying to find this girl, and I just shoot anybody that walks in front of me. So I appreciate the simplicity of it at points. I think it's really fun. I think I've been telling people, like, get it when the price drops. When it drops to like 40, 50, it'll be worth it. I had fun with it. I bought it like the day it came out, and I had fun with it. I don't know that it's worth a $60-$70 price tag.
I will say that I went to Target and picked it up last week, and it was $60, and it came with GTA 4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know why. They handed me this like special edition one, I guess, or whatever it was, like a double pack.
Target exclusive.
And I was like, oh, sorry.
Did you have GTA 4?
I bought it and I got No, I never played GTA 4, so now I just got GTA 4
there
for
you
free.
Go. So it's basically an open world Max.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly. But did you guys?
They're like, they probably bundled it because they're like, people are going to be expecting this anyway.
Matt, did you ever play the previous Max Payne games?
I played 1 and 2. I don't know how long ago. You played them a lot more recently. 2 seemed like it had more story than this does, honestly, if I remember correctly.
I think that's the split. That's the effect of the split, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like when, I always like, this is kind of like the thing with System Shock, when that studio got broken up and then kind of turned into Dead Space and BioShock, you know what I mean? Like, Alan Wake got broken up, you know, Remedy made the first 2 Alan Wake games, and then, they made the first 2 Max Payne games.
Yeah.
And then they went on to do Alan Wake, and then Rockstar fully took over the production of Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
So, like, sort of like the Remedy influence is gone out of this game, and it appears as if it has more of the Rockstar, like...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's totally a Rockstar. You might as well chug a Red Bull while you're playing it. it's a Rockstar.
Yeah, game. Yeah. And I feel like... I just, you know, and I might be too early into the game, and Ryan may be holding back to not ruin anything for me, but it's like... I kind of miss some of that Red Dead story. Like, I feel like Red Dead had a really, even though it was open world, you could have made that game linear, and I could have played through that story, and I would have been just as happy going through Red Dead.
Indeed.
To touch on that, like, the story doesn't get, I mean, you're as far as I've played, you're still just chasing after the girl.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little bit of, like, background here and there, but you're actually, the point where you told me you're at, and I was going to mention this in my review, they do a pretty good job of changing up the scenery a bit. Like, right where you're at, you're about to hit a big change in scenery, and then they do some clever things with flashbacks where you actually interact and play the action sequences in flashbacks.
I did the one where you fight the Jersey drug gang, like, already.
Back in New York, or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do that, and, like, the beginning of the game, you're in, like, the high society, I think, what is it, Sao Paulo,
yeah.
I believe is where the game takes place, so you're fighting through these big office buildings and, like, nice clubs and stuff, and then And then you do the flashback sequence, shit hits the fan, and you go back to Jersey. And then when you come back, you're in the slums of Sao Paulo instead. So you're, like, running through the barrios and, like, you know,
like I said,
kids
I mean,
are scattering as you come around a corner. They do an okay job with the change of scenery. I'll 100% admit that the story
is
something to be desired, but I don't care.
I know. I expected a little bit more Red Dead than I feel like I got. And I was like, okay. I mean, the game is gorgeous. The gunplay is awesome. I agree with you. I think $40-$50, or apparently if you get GTA 4 for free with it, either one of those is like a good deal. I don't know that it's $60 is maybe just like a little bit too much for the game, but it's good. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm having fun playing it. It's just every once in a while I get kind of like burned out. I'm like, I just don't want to play another action scene. So
Well, you die, and you die
a lot.
I died a lot. You die a lot. And it's similar to Halo in that, like, you know, when you run into an action sequence, the guys are all in the same position.
Yeah.
So you can kind of do that thing where you memorize who to shoot first. And I think they kind of did that on purpose.
Did you do any of the aim help? There was like...
I did soft target lock.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did medium difficulty. And I mean, I don't want to try that hard. Like, it's like an interactive movie.
Yeah.
Basically, like, if you know, I'm just kind of watching it unfold, and you just, you know, pull the trigger, lock onto the next guy, shoot him, whatever. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Did you guys ever play The Darkness 2?
I did not.
No.
Oh, this sounds like a worse Darkness 2, because it's very linear, and the story is amazing in Darkness 2, but it's that linear, like, you get story, and then you're shooting bad guys, and then you get story. So you guys should try Darkness 2.
I feel like I played Darkness 1, and I didn't like it. Is that a thing? I feel like I played
one of
them.
I've never played the Darkness one.
I thought I played one of them. What was the game that came out that you had the glaive? The
Prey?
No.
What's that?
You had a glaive, the thing that you threw and you kind of could control it. And you were like...
Was that Darkseid?
You're turning into a symbiote? No, like your arm was like taken over.
Prototype?
No. God damn it.
MDK?
No, it was like the first... It was
Dark Sector?
Yes, Dark Sector. That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Yep, that's what you're thinking
there
of.
There we go. Good work, everybody.
Cool.
So, your summer game pile, you played
that. Yeah, so we're continuing the summer game pile feature of things that you've bought and never played and just sit and collect dust on your shelf. So, I played a game called Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom. Has anyone ever played Enslaved or Ico on the PS2? Oh. Okay, so... These would kind of be like up your alley in that sense. It's a Japanese game in a third-person perspective, but you have a companion with you. So the companion, in this case, is like this guardian, and he's like this big ogre creature. And pretty much what you're doing is you're saving this kingdom from darkness. So there's kind of like this gooey darkness, enemies covered in like darkness or whatever. And they've I know, right?
Greatest. Like,
you just said darkness three times. I don't know what.
I know. I don't know how to explain this game without making it sound like every other game, like the plot to every other Japanese game. There's like this darkness in the world, and you're trying to like overcome it. Obviously, Japanese game. That's what you do.
Do you have to save the world too?
You do. You're actually saving the kingdom. You're making the kingdom not forsaken anymore.
And you're a young teenage boy with a giant sword.
Yeah, that's how the game starts.
Every Japanese game ever.
Yeah. So you sort of like appear on the scene in this castle, and the castle's like overrun. And right at the beginning of the game, you free this golem creature, and he is sort of like the defender of the kingdom and the thing that kind of like pushes back the darkness. And so like similar to Enslaved and Ico, it's a buddy system game. But this guy, the ogre guy, is like an awesome companion. So he's sort of like the brawn of the operation, and you're like the nimble sword fighting character. And you guys battle these evil creatures with like combination attacks, and he controls all this like elemental magic and stuff like that. And it's a kind of has platforming puzzle style elements in the vein of like a Prince of Persia kind of game. And it's not a really long game. It's maybe like 10 to 15 hours.
Is this PS3 or Xbox?
It's on Xbox, but I think it's like maybe like a 2-year-old game at this point. And I think if you go to Amazon, you can pick it up for like $7.50.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a really high quality like fighting game experience. It kind of reminds me partially of like a Zelda game, but partially of a Prince of Persia style game. In the sense that like there's like big boss fights, you know, where you have to use the ability that you just acquired in order to beat the boss. But then it's like Prince of Persia, where there's a lot of like pretty much all of the environments are self-contained. So you move between like, I want to say room to room, but the rooms are actually like open environments. But you're basically moving from room to room and trying to solve the puzzles in each room to get all of the treasures and items in each particular area before you move on to like a different area to do the same thing. But all the treasures and stuff are like power-ups for your character, power-ups for your golem buddy. And it's just a really good game. It has a lot of polish. Like I tried to, I think on an earlier podcast, I tried to go back and I play the Ico HD update. Yeah. And it was just like, felt too dated and like a little too Japanese for me and like the execution of the game. And this would sort of be the answer to that in a game that is sort of like
more action heavy.
And I think they sort of like tailored it better to Western audiences in this particular game. It's not the same studio, but I feel like it's almost like a spiritual successor to games like Enslaved and Ico.
Did you really buy this game to get your gamer score up over 100,000 or?
I did. In other news, I broke 70K on my gamer score.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm really proud of that. I still have a friend on my friends list that I'll never beat, which is Derek the Pilot. But
what is he at?
I think he's like at like 75K.
Jesus, you dick.
This all happened when we were playing SWTOR and everything. Like he just kept playing Xbox. Yeah, and I'm never going to catch him. But definitely a pretty solid game if you're looking for like a 10 to 15 hour adventure gaming experience and you like Japanese games or games like Prince of Persia, I say go pick up Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom.
I'm really glad you played this, Scott, because I always see it at GameStop and it's always caught my eye and I've always been like, I want to play this game. So now I actually have a reason
The one on Press to Reset that loves Japanese games or?
I do love crazy Japanese games. Well, Melissa does.
Is it Melissa?
Too,
okay.
But
I couldn't remember which.
It sounds like you guys play those like hardcore RPG games that cost like $200 to buy for PS2, right?
Yeah, well, that one is definitely Melissa, but I love my RPGs from back when I was in high school.
I still have a copy of Disgaea 2.
Yeah?
I heard it's worth something, right?
Is that like PlayStation?
Probably.
Yeah, like it's on PlayStation, like Shining Force kind of ish game.
Every time you go to those trade shows, like you see those like old PS1 games and they're like $200 and you're like, how is this possible?
I don't know.
Like I want to go back to the year 1997 to get
We're getting there. Hold on.
Sorry. Sorry. Too soon?
So, and I don't even know what this game is. It's called Dream Machine.
Yeah, it's called the Dream Machine. The company, which I'm forgetting the name, they're from Sweden. But it's a point-and-click adventure. Do you guys like point-and-click adventure games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Recently, I've noticed that they're in style, like, full force, which I'm happy because I love point-and-click adventure games. And this one is pretty unique from the other ones because it's done entirely in claymation and cardboard and, like, cool little things. Like, they had beach chairs and made out of popsicle sticks. I was like, that's a popsicle stick. Nice. So the style is so unique, and it's sort of done in, like, an eerie sort of way, and it's all about dreams. So the beginning of the game, you're playing this character Victor, but you don't know it yet. You're just this guy on this deserted island, and you have to figure out the puzzle. And once you figure out the puzzle, you wake up from the dream you were having and you go explore your apartment. Turns out you just moved in, your wife is pregnant, and she's been having weird dreams, and there's all this weird like psychoanalytical dream talk that goes on during the game so far. And it's just like, it's got this really eerie tinge to it, and I love it, because I'm creeped out, but love the characters, and I love the style. So it's definitely worth picking up if you love point-and-click adventure games. It's pretty hard. There were a couple puzzles that I was like, what am I going to do? And I was stuck for like hours.
So the company is called Cockroach, and it's literally just two guys that made the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is insane.
It looks like the game's available on Steam as an episodic game. There's going to be 5 chapters in total.
Yeah, only the first 3 are out, so I'm left at a cliffhanger because I just finished it yesterday, and I need to know more.
Oh my god, this looks incredible. Just looking at the screenshots on Steam.
How did you come across this game?
Well, actually, I had just finished The Journey Down, which is another point-and-click adventure that I suggest you check out. It's very well done, and that's by Sky Goblin. So I just finished that up, and I got this email that was like, hey, this game is coming out on Steam today. Would you guys like basically a free code to review it for the website for Press to Reset? And I was like, yeah, of course I would. I love point-and-click adventures. So that's how I got that, and I started playing it. So
awesome. This looks very similar to, I think it was called Machinima. Did I make that up? It was another puzzle point and click adventure.
Oh, I've never heard of it. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was very styled. It was all, I believe it was all hand-drawn, if I'm remembering it correctly. It wasn't any computer graphics or anything, but it was really dark and weird. It was just, you're just one guy going through different things. It was like, combine the items and solve the puzzle or whatever. Just from these couple screenshots I'm looking at, it looks kind of similar, but I could be wrong.
It looks awesome. So it's on Steam, it looks like. You can go pick it up. And they also, it seems like they have a PayPal account if you just want to help donate towards the game, getting more episodes out. But that is awesome.
And I love the creepy aspect to it, because I totally wasn't expecting it. And the music plays really well into the emotions of what's going on in the game as well. So the music is good, and I just love that it's eerie and it creeps me out. Like, I've been having weird dreams ever since starting to play this game.
Oh my goodness. I like that whole, like, creepo dream psychoanalytic aspect to it. That seems like the real appeal is...
Yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
All right, we'll check it out then. I think the website is thedreammachine.se. Because they're Swedish.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back, and we will do our question of the week, our open thread, if you will. Did we name this thing yet? I don't know if we named it. All right, well, we'll be right back. We are back with our question that we ask people everywhere on the internet.
Oh, we should trademark what you just said.
Yeah.
That was a very Microsoft-ish title.
This is question version 7, asked everywhere on the internet with sites like Facebook and Twitter.
We know what you mean. Very specific.
All right. So the question this week, Scott and Ryan kind of batted it back and forth. So they worked it out into something usable.
We were spitballing, man.
You were spitballing. And it is, if you could go to any time period, past or present, for one day and bring one item with you from our time, when, what, and why? I'll kick it off with our good buddy Jimmy at Drachmarth. It says, when, early 20th century, what, a farm's worth of photovoltaic solar panels, why, billion? That's a long plan, though, is what that...
The slow burn.
The slow burn.
That seems like a really roundabout way when you could just take the sports almanac back to your younger self and become a billionaire that way.
I feel like this conversation is very familiar.
Oh, really?
Joke stepper. Sorry.
So, Scott, you got the next one?
Yep. Our buddy Fluid Fire, Amanda, says, I kept thinking of bringing tech into the past, but would probably get burned/hung for being a witch.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too smart.
Well, yeah.
Just don't go back to the Salem witch trials, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be fine.
Like, if you go far enough, then they won't care. And if you don't go too far, then you'll be like, there's really just one period that you're going to get killed for being a witch, right?
That leads beautiful segue into my answer, which was... I would bring an iPhone with Instagram back to the 70s and show people how good our digital cameras are in the present.
Would you then show them the 70s filter as well?
Yes.
That is what I was implying.
Dude, Ryan sent me this video of like the Foo Fighters after party at SNL, and somebody used the crappy Super 8 filter on their camera. Like, it's this beautiful phone that does 1080p video, and they're like, let me make it look like it's a Super 8. And like shooting, I'm like, good lord.
Perhaps the person actually brought a Super 8 camera to the show and then converted the footage when they got home.
they had their own audio recording.
And then converted the footage and weathered it. Simulated aging.
So Ryan, you can read the next one.
Teresa, I'm not going to say the @. She is MetFan012 on Twitter. She said she would go to a Jimi Hendrix concert in 1969, of course, and bring a cell phone to wow the people.
Wouldn't you bring the cell phone just so you could record Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah, I'm sure you get tons more money for that.
Come back with your 1080 digital footage. Or...
And then came back to now, would the footage look aged, even if you didn't use... Never mind.
Now we're getting to paradoxes.
So Anna, do you have an answer?
Do I have an answer?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Should I go with the dick answer?
Of course.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I was thinking about this ever since you guys sent the question. I would take Mass Effect 3, get back to Mass Effect 1,
we go.
And show them the ending and be like, don't start. Just be ruined. You'll be sad. No. I asked for your approval first.
You're gonna save them from themselves is what you're
saying?
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't worry, they're releasing a new ending soon anyways.
I know, I can't wait. All right, next answer is from Justin Banks at Midtown 583. He says, I'd go to 2015 to see Jaws in 3D, and I'd bring a book called So You Opened Up a Wormhole. It does the do's and don'ts of time travel.
He's being protective, right?
But how would you open up a wormhole by going forward in time?
Let's think about this. I don't know.
I don't know.
I assume you guys get the reference, correct?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just sit on it.
I actually don't get the reference, so I was just going to be quiet and pretend like nothing
happened. Back to the Future too. He goes to 2015, and when he's in the like town center or whatever, they're showing Jaws in 3D.
Yeah.
And the big shark comes out
so
and bites
him.
So I got
the Almanac one.
And he goes, and the thing comes over top of him and then just...
What an appropriate place for another Back to the Future 2 joke that Scott already wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I even put it there. I wrote it on the paper.
We need to work on our comedic timing here.
I know, man.
That can all be fixed in the editing, though.
How will we ever make it as a podcast without comedic timing?
Oh, boy. We'll just post promo videos. So, our buddy Pilk says, as much as I'd love to travel back about 3 months to win Powerball and live like a P-I-M-P, I guess my less selfish answer would be, where Pangea win 200 million years ago, mid-Jurassic? What to bring? A digital camera? Why? Because I'd go see fucking dinosaurs. Something no one has ever seen. I could take videos and pics proving I survive. I could bring them back and make sweet posters to sell to flea market.
That answer wins.
Until you ruin the, you know, until you step on something and then everything's forever changed in the future.
He like squashes a single plant and then we're all never existing.
Mm-hmm. And then you won't be able to sell posters at the flea market, Plix. Then what?
The Tyrannosaurus Rex will get loose and run all over downtown San Francisco.
I mean, if he...
I thought it was New York. Wasn't that in the We're Back movie? Was it New York or San Francisco?
I was talking about Jurassic Park, too, which is terrible.
I was thinking about the dinosaur ride at Animal Kingdom, where Claire Huxtable asks you not to go back and get the dinosaur from the... Yeah, anybody know? Anybody?
Never been there. No. Is it actually Claire Huxtable as Claire Huxtable in character?
Yeah, it's in character.
Now I gotta go and make sure people's not eating a hoagie.
It's just the actress. So culturally relevant.
So last up, Ash. Even though he's not here, he still managed to participate in the podcast.
Hey, I'm not gonna listen to this answer.
We don't have to read it. We can just, you know.
Don't. I say skip it.
Delete it.
I read it. It's not a good answer.
I don't know what to do. It's kind of
delete it.
It's kind of a dish answer, isn't it?
I think you should read it.
In theory, any serious mucking with the time stream would cause a paradox, which I assume is a bad thing. If paradoxes aren't an issue, I'd probably stop Gavrilo Princip from assassinating Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
I love the band Franz Ferdinand, by the way.
He put the date there.
He put the date. And it said
A
number of history nerds theorized that this single event was the catalyst for World War I, which in turn spawned the Treaty of Versailles and World War II. No Treaty of Versailles, no angry Hitler, no World War II, no Holocaust, no Pearl, no Hiroshima, no Cold War. Trillions of dollars could have been used for the advancement of civilization and technology and not nuclear deterrence. This all leads to more advanced video game consoles and pizza with no calories. I would bring Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle to snipe the gun from Princip's hand just to be ironic.
I don't know. If we didn't have, like, all the World War II, would we be as forward as we are now? What if we're still as racist?
I mean, the problem is that a lot of that innovation comes from military tech innovation.
We wouldn't have Tang.
We wouldn't have Tang.
Or bowls that you could put in a microwave.
Yeah, there'd be no Pyrex.
Without World War II, we wouldn't have Ash's snarky answer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Does he wear a t-shirt that says, ask me how much I know about history?
Oh, Ash.
Oh, there you go. You got the burn in.
I think we need to add a fart noise to the end of this so it actually is like an Ash quote, you know?
Just it said nothing about dicks.
I know. There's no penis reference in there.
Just edit back in. Let's overdub. I would bring a dick.
Yeah. It's a very thoughtful answer, though. It's very
show
well.
Show how big
well
our penises said. Are in the 20. What are we in the 21st century?
There you go.
I believe we are. Yeah, yeah.
I feel so bad for your podcasting buddies that have Ash on there. He's gonna say dick about 14 million times.
Oh, they're used to it. Ash and I are interchangeable that way. All I'm right. making it a point to say a penis joke at least once.
I was just about to ask you to stop making so many penis jokes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know I'm being sexist.
Is Nate excited to have another male presence on the podcast?
I bet he is. I never really asked him yet about it.
So Scott, did you give an answer, Scott?
What's that? My answer?
Yeah.
I don't know what I would take with me, but I'd go back to the 50s and I would make Walt Disney build an actual Epcot so I can live in it.
Yes.
I want to live in that. The so I can live in the 50s future of tomorrow.
Right.
Yesterday's tomorrow today, right? That's what it is.
I like it.
That's well, we're on that topic. Can we go back and make them keep the submarine ride at Disneyland and not change
Horizons.
It?
Can they keep Horizons?
Oh, yeah. Maybe you would just go back and tell them never to change anything at Disneyland ever. Just make
that would
it,
be good.
Just a frozen in time. Look, weird
guys, there's going to be a lull in the 80s and 90s, and then this shit's going to come yeah. back hardcore, ironically, and people are going to love it.
You're going to be like, you might think that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was a great movie and needs an attraction, but it really doesn't.
Really not required.
You're really just going to have to shut down Captain EO for like maybe like 5 or 6 years while this legal thing's playing out, and then afterwards, you're good to go with it again.
Whatever happened to Rick Moranis? Where is he?
I just thought you were going to say Michael Jackson.
He's dead, yeah.
He did Captain EO and then just checked out. I don't know. Rick Moranis retired. He makes music now. He retired from acting. He doesn't act anymore.
He won't even do Ghostbusters.
Did he ever unshrink himself?
I think he did.
Oh, okay,
he never
good.
Shrunk himself, did he?
Yeah. Didn't
Maybe
he?
In one of the direct-to-DVD
DVDs?
Ones.
Yeah, that's true. I ruined
that's part two, right? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids,
I've never really understood. Okay, so they blew the people back up after they shrunk them.
Yeah.
Why did he need to make an enlargement ray in the second one? Couldn't he have just used the opposite direction on the gun from the first movie?
I thought the gun Stop exploded thinking in about the first it. Movie.
Huh?
I thought the gun got destroyed at the end of the first movie. Did it not?
Maybe that's what happened.
Maybe it's probably in that warehouse with the Ark of the Covenant.
It's true.
Oh, right.
It's true. Match up. Honey, I Shrunk James, Indiana.
James? Where did James come from? Honey, I Shrunk James.
I say James Bond. You know, James Bond in the Ark of the Covenant.
Good old James Bond in the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, Jesus. Boy. Matt, did you answer this question yet?
I don't really have an answer. I probably should have thought about this maybe before the podcast.
Maybe.
I
go back
probably.
To my answer before we started recording this thing.
Where would I go back to? What's my favorite time in history? I'd go back.
I'm gonna edit all the silence.
I literally have zero answer for this. I don't really. I've never been a time. I'm not a time travel guy.
No.
You don't.
Okay.
Are you scared?
No, I just like. I don't really like Back to the Future. I'm just not like. I don't like time travel.
Oh. How do we kick him out of this conversation?
I've said many times that there are so many things that should make me lose my nerd cred. Like, I'm not a huge Back to the Future fan. I hate Game of Thrones with a fucking passion. I hate that book so much.
But you're reading it on Goodreads.
Oh, I hate it so much, though. It's like the most painful book I've ever read in my life.
Oh, no.
Really?
I hate it. I hate it.
No spoilers. I'm only on the first one.
I'd love to spoil it, except all I know is I've read about 15 different characters that they've gotten into zero narrative with.
Would you go
travel
forward in the
in
future?
Time, and I would make George R. Martin not write the stupid book I get so angry about. And I'd bring Lord of the Rings with me, and I'd be like, somebody already fucking did it, dude. It's cool.
Whoa.
Wow, that was an angry answer.
I'm
yeah,
done.
There's some rage over there.
You could just not read the book.
No, I have to. It's required.
Do you have a fucking book report due?
Yeah, I do.
Is this a wife task?
That you one could of those read 50 Shades of Grey.
We'll with again at the end. 50 Shades of Grey? I don't understand that. Does anybody know what that book is? Is it really
porn.
Just porn?
It's erotica. It's just, yeah, it's erotica. It's like about some, don't ask me how I know so much, like some rich dude, some like powerful businessman that like seduces this like average ordinary woman or whatever and like takes her to different countries and buys her cars and shit. And there's like very graphic sexual depictions in it. I got a rundown on it from a friend of mine the other day.
Sure, yeah, friend.
I read about it online.
Aren't there like 20 of them too? Isn't this like three? I think 3? 20?
Be like 50.
20 is like the same thing, right? At the end of the day?
Sure, sure.
So none of us are reading it is what we're all saying right now.
No.
Right.
Not anymore.
I would rather read fan fiction, honestly.
Isn't that kind of what it is? I mean, isn't book porn just fan fiction, essentially? Same thing?
Yeah.
Interchangeable?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the fan fiction about genitals. For fans of genitals.
What?
I don't know.
I feel like we've ended this podcast in a very different place from where we started it.
Did we?
I'm happy with it, though.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Oh,
I don't know. I feel bad about my angry rant now.
You should.
Why don't you do a nice answer? I would take polio back to before they invented the vaccine and save everybody from dying.
Why would I take polio back to
the vaccine?
I would take a disease back before
I'd go to the past, and get polio, I'd bring it back now, and everybody would be fucked.
What would I do?
We would be all fucked because we have no immunity to polio.
I was at a wedding the other day. And
what's happening here?
And edit. Okay, this is all going to get cut out.
No, it's,
we have to end the podcast.
Nope,
so.
Let it go. I want to do this.
A girlfriend of mine has a husband that's so old, he couldn't come to the wedding. She's like our age, and he's like in his 40s or whatever. Cool dude and all, whatever. But he couldn't come to the wedding because he had the mumps.
What?
He was born before they started vaccinating people.
Oh, my
for the
gosh.
Mumps. That was, I couldn't not make fun of that.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy.
Oh.
All right, that's it.
Okay.
So, Anna, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it. We should do this again sometime.
We should.
Soon.
Why don't you go ahead and pimp all of your all of your stuff again?
All right. Well, the website is Press to Reset. Our podcast is Reset Transmission. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, if you're not already following me, it's Peachy Anna.
I heard you have like 1,100 followers on Twitter. Is that true?
I have 1,162 followers currently.
That is incredible.
And Ryan, you are at...
You can reach me on... I'm on Twitter at A+K. I got like 1,000,000 followers.
You do? That's awesome. What do you tweet about? Like Nikon cameras and stuff?
Yeah, cameras being racist. I don't know.
Sweet.
Oh, boy.
Sweet.
And as always, you can follow Nerd Appropriate on Twitter at Nerd Appropriate. We're also on Facebook and Google+. I think we started a Goodreads book club.
Yeah, we're going to get that out there where I will try to be less angry about Game of Thrones. And then, you can email us all at Matt, Scott, or Ash, or Hillary at nerdappropriate.com. And then just come to the site and hang out and chat. Have fun. We have chat rooms. I don't know. I just made that up. We don't have chat rooms.
Chat rooms?
Like the old AOL chat.
Go to AOL.com. Order a CD.
Yes, yes. We are in the chat
version.
Never mind. Moving on. That's
you have
gonna
gopher. Yes. You have gopher and finger.
Oh boy! And go check out Reset Transmission.
Yeah.
Ash and Hillary are over there this week, and listen to their podcast because it's good.
It is.
Read Game of Thrones.
Read Game of Thrones.
And cut.
I didn't actually cut it there. We're still recording!
Oh my god.
Just stop reading Game of Thrones.
And we went to the farmer's market today.
Yeah.
And we got like real catnip, like fresh catnip, a plant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how exciting.
Our cats are creepy. Fucking stoned in the living room right now. Just like rolling around on the floor.
Cute.
Conan is like, he had his head, like the bag that we were carrying it in. He had his head, had some litter for him too. And he had his head in the litter, like against the litter bag. And he was just rubbing all over it and climbing in the bag and, like, rolling upside down on it.
Awesome.
Getting cat stoned is fantastic.